All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, August 20th of 2024. Looking ahead here, we have a big 13-game MLB slated to get started in a couple hours here. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. With that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do this show on Saturdays as well at 11 a.m. Eastern. All right, good stuff there. Let's get SaberSim pulled up here. As a reminder, we do have our build review show going live at 5 p.m. Eastern today. So if anybody wants to have their builds reviewed from a previous day earlier this week, we actually just started doing other sports other than MLB. So we just did our first MMA review yesterday, open to doing, you know, golf, NASCAR, whatever you guys want. So if anybody wants to have their builds reviewed live on stream today, drop your DK username in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. Let me know what sport you're looking to have reviewed and we can take it from there. So just want to say that reminder there. So let's jump into our first question. Question says, does the risk-adjusted ROI and the ROI percentage tell me if they are winning lineups or not? And do I aim for the high percentages or the low percentages? Okay, good question here. So let's just run some lineups here. We have quite a few questions around the contest sims, so we'll just get something spun up here. But what ROI and risk-adjusted ROI are telling you? First thing is, what is ROI doing? What's the calculation, right? So when we run the contest sim, what we're doing is we're taking the lineups, putting them into the contest sim, and then we are playing out the contest sim 100,000 times, right? So say you're playing a $1 single entry contest. So your entry fees in the contest sim are going to be $100,000. 100,000 sims times $1 entry fee, $100,000 entry. Now what happens is, how we get ROI is we add up all the money that lineup makes. And when that lineup makes more than $100,000, the entry fees, it is a winning lineup. And also, you know, rake is taken into account in the contest sim as well, right? So we understand, you know, the rake percentages. We understand how all that gets factored in. So when your lineup wins $110,000 and has $100,000 in entry fees, you get 10% ROI, right? That's how that works. So to answer your question, you know, the higher percentages are going to be better, because that means that your lineup won more money, even more money, right? The bigger that percentage is, the higher return that lineup had as far as amount money won. So it's always good to aim for higher ROI. And then as far as risk adjusted ROI goes, so what risk adjusted ROI is doing is it's taking into account how and how much that lineup loses. So it's doing a what's called an omega ratio. We coined the term risk adjusted ROI, basically telling you, it's like, hey, you know, you could have two lineups that are 100% ROI, but they could have achieved the 100% ROI very, very differently. One lineup could be very boom bust, where it wins or doesn't cash, and then one lineup can have, you know, less wins but a lot of other high finishes and be a little bit more of a consistent lineup, right? The lineup that is more consistent is going to get a better risk-adjusted ROI score. So for both metrics, higher percentage is going to be better, but the risk-adjusted ROI has that extra component of understanding a lineup's variance and including that in the grading metric. All right. Next question here. Can you go through the filter process or tag a video that has it? So I did get a little bit of clarification on this, just kind of talking about like things that you can filter for after a build and trying to get a better understanding of like how to use filters, what kind of filters are good, and things like that. So we can definitely do that here. And where we should start, this one came in from Danny. Danny is on the ultimate plan. So first thing I would always recommend, right? Run your contest sim and then come in here and add a filter for ROI greater than zero from the contest sim in question, right? This becomes important where, you know, yeah, like you can go into your contest sim, sort by risk adjusted ROI. Chances are, you know, the top 20 lineups are all going to be positive. But once you start using menu uniques, once you start tinkering with the build, you know, you're going to go further and further down in your pool. We don't want to play any lineups that graded out poorly in the contest sim, right? We only want to play lineups that effectively won money, right? So we're saying, hey, you know, the threshold is this lineup needs to be greater than 0% ROI. It needs to be 1%, 2%, you know, and higher, right? So that's the first filter that we really recommend. Now, we've done some studying of lineups on our build review show, right? Our 5 p.m. Eastern show. And one thing that we've seen is that, you know, it seems like average projection does matter as far as contest sims go, right? We'll see somebody with like 96 sim average score, maybe not grading out super well. And then we'll go and look at like the top sim ROI sets. And they're somewhere in the range of, you know, 105 to 110, where, you know, it doesn't need to be 110. You know, 105 still grades out well, but, you know, it's still higher than 96, right? So something that I've been encouraging people to do here just from our findings is come in here and add a filter for projected score. And you should do this before the ROI because you're going to see that, you know, your lineups in the trash is zero. So this just gives you a better idea for when you do this. So show lineups with projected score greater than, and then you make up a number, right? I'm going to start with 90. And what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to get about 10 to 20% of my lineups to go into the trash where it's like, hey, I just want to kind of chop off the bottom projected lineups and not even consider playing those. And there's usually going to be some overlap with the ROI, right? So it's like, say I add that projection filter. Okay, 981 lineups went in the trash. That's about 20%, which is like kind of my max. And then I go and add one for ROI greater than zero. And I think this trash number was like 2,600 or 2,700. It was somewhere in that range. So from the 981, about 700 of them overlapped with the negative ROI lineups. But then there was an additional 200 lineups that also went into the trash because now our trash number's at like 2,900. So that's good, right? We're just guarding ourselves against lower projected lineups, which we've seen not grade out super well. We've also talked about doing like a similar thing for ownership at times, right? Sometimes we've seen lineups with really high sum ownership not grade out super well. So then I would do something like, hey, you know, show lineups with ownership less than X. And then I would go through the same process, right? Turn off the other filters, come in here, do my ownership less than, and I'd make up a number, right? 150, maybe. I'm just throwing out a number. Okay, so that didn't do anything, right? So that means that the number's too high. Let's try 120. 120, we get a few lineups in the trash, right? Okay, you know, we're getting closer. So then I would go down, you know, maybe 105. And then I would just keep iterating on that until I got about, you know, out of my pool of 5,000, you know, 500 to 1,000, somewhere in that range in the trash. And then I would go in and, you know, add the other filters back, right? So after doing one of these, whether it be projection or ownership, I would write down the number and then I would figure out what the other number needs to be and then put them together, right? So the reason for doing this via the percentage of lineups in the trash is because, you know, 105 might be a good number on a 13 game slate, but it might not be a good number on a 5-game slate, right? So it's better to do it from this perspective as opposed to just having these hard and fast number rules, because ownership is going to change, amount of players on the slate is going to change, And, you know, it, you can't capture that with a single number. So you got to be a little more flexible. And I think the percentage format works super well. So as far as filters go, those are some of the ones that we've been talking about. Projection, ownership, ROI are the main ones I would be sticking with at the moment. All right. Good question there. Question for you. I'm playing 150 single entry, 3 max, and 20 max tonight. In the build settings, should I just build 150 and set the entry limit to 150 or just leave it default? Okay, so the way that we recommend do this, like optimal building, is to run 2 builds. And the first build will have your single entry and your 3 max contests. And then your second build will have your 20 max and 150 max contests. And the reason for that comes down to how the sliders change, right? So, you know, for most of your single entries, they're going to be like 100 to 1K or even 1K to 10K entries, right? So if I'm playing single entry, 100 to 1K, the correlation is at 8, sim diversity is at 5. If I change it to 3 max, sliders stay the same, right? Sliders are just accounting for the upside that we're building into your lineup. So we're basically saying, hey, we need about the same amount of upside to win a single entry as a 3 max. So you could build these together. Well, if I go and do 150 max, most of these are like 10 to 50K range. Sliders go from 8.5 to 10.8. This is a really, really big jump here, right? As far as upside, because with upside comes downside, right? It's kind of equal on both sides. Well, now the lineups are a lot more risky and probably a little bit too leveraged for some of those smaller contests. So if I look at the 150 max sliders, and then if I look at the 20 max is 10.7. So one sim diversity tick down. But we feel like this is close enough from our back testing to say, hey, you can build your 20 max and 150 max together. And then I would just set up the entry limit for the 150 max where it's 10.8 here. So just lean on the higher side. So that's what I would recommend there. But if you want to build them all together, if you need the time savings, you know, it makes more sense for you in your specific situation. I would use the 150 max settings because it's always better to have a little bit too much upside in your lineups than a little too little upside in your lineups. So if you're going to build them all together, use the 150 max settings. All right. Jumping over to the YouTube chat, question from Austin. Hey, Andrew, can you go over the filters I should be having on to help me get a good sim ROI? For the life of me, I keep getting negative sim ROI lineups and I don't know why. Thanks. Okay. So, what we covered in the last question here about filters should definitely help you out. So if you missed it, just rewind it back a little bit and watch that. And then if you are, you know, the truth is, you know, I don't think all of your lineups are going to grade out positive sim ROI like all the time. So that's okay. But if you're getting, you know, negative sets of sim ROI lineups, like you go and look at your 20 max and you're seeing like, hey, I have, you know, negative 5% sim ROI. I'm not really sure what I'm doing wrong. Add your DK username to the Office Hours channel and I will pull you up on stream and, you know, go through your set, right? So we'll look at your contest selection. We'll pull up a contest and see how your lineup's graded out. I'll give you ideas and tips to change in your builds and things I think you can do differently, right? Like that's what that show is for. So what you're describing, you sound like a great candidate for the show. So I would definitely recommend volunteering your name and we can get you pulled up on screen here in about 45 minutes. All right. Question from Demetrius. When I set up the self sim, do I use the build one for every sim other than the self? Can you go over the DFS process? Thank you. Okay. So let's go back to this build where we have lineups. So if you're running a self sim, right, usually this includes having two contest sims up here, right? So I think I only have one at the moment. So let's go and create a second one. So I have two contest sims, right? The first one is going to be a contest sim against the field lineups, right? These are the lineups that make up the ownership projections. Now, for your second one, which is your self sim here, first off, I would rename it so they don't have the exact same name. So I would say, you know, self, something like that, easy. And then you change the field lineup dropdown to the build that you're in, okay? So you go change it from Saber Sim Ownership to build one. You have to do this after the lineups are built, okay? And then if at any point you rebuild lineups, you need to go back into your self sim and reselect this build. So what will happen is if you rebuild lineups, the field lineups drop down, becomes blank, and then you need to reselect it, okay? If you don't reselect it, it's going to use the last set of lineups that were built. So come in here, set this to build one, save that, make sure they're named differently, you run it, and then they're both going to be available in the sorting metric dropdown for you. So that's how that works. All right. Couple questions from Johnny. If I use SaberSim on mobile, is it the same results as on a computer? Yes. So everything as far as the sims that are used, we only have one set of game sims. We only have one contest sim engine. So everything is the same. There's no difference between computer and mobile. All right, next question. Will soccer ever be offered? Seems to have larger prize pools than other sports offered, and correlation matters. Seems SaberSim would be ideal for it. Thanks. We would like to support every sport in the lobby. So I just removed the question so we could see it all. So we are, you know, slowly building this out, right? And the only sports that we don't have sims for at the moment or support for is COD, soccer, college basketball. We don't have Valorant on the list, but we don't have Valorant as well. And then, you know, we have our WNBA projections that come from our third-party partners. But every other sport on this list, you know, we do have sims for and projections. So the goal here is to have sims for every sport on this list. Now that just takes time. And, you know, we are very careful with releasing new models and stuff like that, just because we want to make sure that we stand by it 100%. We think it's as strong as any one of our other models. So that is, you know, long-term goal. Yes, we do want to have soccer support. That's kind of where we're at right now. So everything from UFL up, we have projections for, and you can play anything CBB and below. We do not. Okay. Next question. I understand playing more lineups is more profitable. However, if I wanted to play single entry or multiplier contest like 5Xs, could I just run for one lineup with satellite settings and enter that lineup? So if you're playing a multiplier, what I would recommend is going to style and setting it to multiplier, right? The multiplier sliders are going to be different than satellite. And you could see this, right? Like this is actually a massive, massive difference, right? So say you're playing a satellite, 3 max, 100 to 1K entries with a ticket up top. Sliders are 9.6, right? You change this to multiplier, sliders go down to 1.4, right? And, you know, satellite is set up for like, hey, you want first place and you want nothing else, right? Like first place or bust. And that's going to be something with a ticket, something with a winner take all, something like that, right? Multipliers, your 3Xs, your 5Xs, your 10Xs. You know, we're saying like, hey, correlation, we got to account for it a little bit. Sim diversity is going to be a more important, yes, but, you know, we still want to take into account more and more sims closer to the average projection, because you don't need to beat as many people to get paid in this type of contest. So for your multipliers, I would definitely be setting it up with multiplier and not satellite. All right. Next question. Will SaberSim ever offer optimizing for sites like PrizePick and Underdog? I recall the short-lived betting product, seeing if it will ever be revived or not really. So I'm not sure. I do know that, you know, the betting product kind of took our team's attention away from like innovating on the DFS product, which is really our bread and butter. You know, this is what we're like really, really good at, and we spend most of our time doing. So not to say like we'll never go back to it, but we are definitely a DFS company first, and sports betting is more something that we consider like an add-on. So I don't know what the timeline is on that or if it will come back, but you can expect us to keep innovating on the DFS side for sure. All right. If I use individual stat projections for any prop wagering, what would be the best way to use it? I was using unabated and entered SaberSims projection, but unabated product was not great in my opinion. So the biggest thing I would be aware of are the actual lines of that you're getting on the bets here, right? Because like you could go, let's go to build two. Cause I don't think we have lineups here. So say, you know, I come into build two, I scroll over to the right, and then, you know, maybe I'm looking at strikeouts, right? Maybe I'm looking at strikeouts or something like that. And I come in here, I sort by strikeouts. And then I'm like, okay, you know, Cole Reagan's line is 6.5 and we have him at 6.7. Okay, great. You know, we're over, but you know, he's -140 to go over his prop line, right? So, you know, that probably ends up being like a wash or, you know, like there's not like a lot of edge there. But if, you know, the line is 6 and he's minus, you know, 105, well then, hey, you know, there's probably more edge here with 6.7. So like, just be very aware of, you know, the price lines. And if you understand like the math behind it, like implied probabilities and, you know, what you need, how often a bet needs to hit to win. And you can compare those to like K rates and stuff like that. I'd say that would be the biggest thing in my opinion is what price are you getting for the lines that you're seeing and how far off are they from what we're showing in our app? All right. Good stuff there. Question from Chris. Can you talk about whether it's more beneficial to use projected points or Saber score when choosing your lineups in a 20 max? Yeah, absolutely. So we definitely think Saber score is better. And the reason for that is Saber score does take into account average projection, but it takes into account two other things that are also really, really important for your DFS contest, right? So it this weight on some projection. So it's taking into account projected points, but then it's also taking into account the upside of the lineup. This is the score that the lineup achieves 1% of the time. That would be the lineup's 99th percentile. And then the average adjusted ownership of the lineup. So this is taking into account ownership as well. So it's doing three things. It's taking into account the lineup's floor with some projection. It's taking into account or their average outcome, right? And then it's taking into account the upside of the lineup because the biggest payouts in DFS are in the top 10 spots. And that's usually, you know, the top 0.1, the top 0.001 of a contest, right? So that 99th percentile is zoning in on that area. And then it's doing a negative weight. It's taxing lineups whose adjusted ownership ends up being high. So that's why we think Saber score is a better metric than projected score because it takes that into account as well as other things that are important for placing high in your DFS contests. All right, next question. Does capping ownership before running a 20 max affect the builds you get? Is it better to force stacks in before or post running a build? So yes, it will affect it, right? So if you're setting a rule here that says like, you know, it's like a lineup aggregate rule where it's like my ownership sum no more than X. What happens is that, you know, we build lineups and then we see if the lineups meet that criteria. And then if the lineups don't meet that criteria, they don't go into the pool, right? Like this is really important for the lineup building process. So, you know, you could have one lineup that grades out well, but it's over that threshold. So it never makes it into the pool. And then we have to put a different lineup into the pool that meets that criteria. Maybe the lineup that we had was a better lineup, right? So it can definitely affect the lineups that go into the pool. And then the second part, is it better to force stacks in before or post running a build? The way I recommend this is run a build, go into your team stacks, and then see if you can make your adjustments and see if the builder has enough lineups in the pool to meet all your criteria. Now, if you run into a situation where the builder doesn't have enough lineups, then just finish setting up all your adjustments and then click rebuild lineups. So what you're doing is you're seeing if there are enough lineups in a default build to match your adjustments or your opinions. And then if not, then you rebuild lineups. But if there is, then great. You know, now you're using the SaberSim defaults with your opinions, finding a set of lineups that you're comfortable with. So I'd recommend doing it in that formula. So default build, set the minimax exposures. If it works, great. If it doesn't, then rebuild. And then your second build will take those inputs into account up front and make sure that the build reaches your recommendations. All right, next question. If I'm not using Sims, what should I be paying close attention to help me get profitable DFS lineups? Thanks for all your help. For sure. So what I would recommend here is making sure you're not going too far down in your pool and making sure the adjustments you're making aren't having too much of an effect on your average projection. So the way I would do this is say I needed 150 lineups, right? Now what I would do is I would go to the calculator and I would do show me average projection across my 150 lineups. So across my entire set of 150, my average projection is about 95.2. So then what I would do is, okay, hey, I'm going to start making some adjustments. I'm going to change my minimax exposures. I'm going to change my min uniques. And I want to see, okay, what's the change on the average projection? It's still 95. That's good. We've added 5 min uniques, lineup 392. You know, if I don't have contest sims, I'm trying to stay in the top 25 to 50% of my pool here. And then, you know, maybe I come in, add some minimax exposures, like watching this rank number, watching your average projection. And then when you see one of them fall significantly, like if I was going into lineup 3,000, 4,000, I'd probably say, hey, I made too many changes. I need to ease off a little bit. If I see projection drop from like 95 to like 90, maybe I made too many adjustments. So those are the two things I would be looking at to determine if I'm making too many adjustments and actually hurting my lineups rather than helping them. All right. Good stuff there. Question from Ryan. Andrew, going to have Eric on to talk about any updates to the CFB model. It's a Christmas time for DFS. If you go over to Saturday's 3-game college football slate, as of about 1 hour ago, our initial projections are up here. So game totals, projections, ownership are up for the college football 3-game slate. We're getting into that time of year where we have college football, we have NFL starting up, NBA is not too far away. So it's definitely a great time of the year to be playing DFS. So yeah, we'll be coming out with some college football content. Probably not for this week. This is like considered like week zero, but ahead of week one, we should have some content, possibly an interview with Eric. So we'll let you guys know more about that, and we'll make sure we make some announcements. All right. Brian said, can you change exposures and stacks without rebuilding? Absolutely. Right. This is the way I was recommending doing it. Change it first, see if you run into an error message. If you don't, great. You don't need to do anything else. If you do run into an error message, then I would rebuild lineups, but that's only after running into an error. Brian said, what is the maximum ownership anyone should have on 150 max? I tend to cap things usually at 40, but hasn't worked out too well. I don't really like this idea, really. And the reason for that is because you shouldn't just think of, you know, your exposure to players as like a blanket number. You should think of it in terms of leverage on the field. So, you know, you could say, okay, I don't want any more than 40% of one player. But let's say it's like, you know, it's a small slate, right? Let's say it's a 6-game main slate and, you know, Paul Skeens is the chalk pitcher and he's 60% owned, right? You're by capping at 40, on this pitcher because I've set this hard cap. So what I would recommend is thinking about your you know, maximums, we use a little bit different guideline saying 2 to 3x a player's ownership should be like your max exposure, your max leverage. So for instance here, you know, Cole Reagan's pitcher, 31% owned, you know, I might be willing to have 60% of him, right? But then if I go and look at like batters, you know, and I'm looking at, you know, I'm just going to pick somebody a little bit lower, right? Maybe like George Springer at 8% ownership. I am not willing to have 60% George Springer, right? I'm maybe willing to have 8%, maybe like 25% Springer, right? I think that's like a good range there, right? But then, you know, I might be willing to have a little bit more Ohtani, who's 16% owned, and maybe I'm okay with having him in 35% of my lineups, right? So the number changes based on the player's ownership, because it's all about how much leverage you're getting on that player compared to what their expected ownership in the contest is. So think about it from that angle. All right, Austin said, how many lineups do you like building for a single entry 3-max contest? I would always build the maximum, you know, however many lineups your plan allows, I would always build the maximum, right? On sim mode, lineups are not built from strongest to weakest, because we are not doing highest projected lineup and then second highest and then third. The lineups are generated from randomly sampling all the sims on the slate, and then they are graded afterwards. So your best lineup could technically be built last. That's not, there's nothing that says that couldn't happen. So it's better to always build the maximum number of lineups that you can. All right. Good stuff there. See Renegade posted in Discord for reviewing their lineups from yesterday. Absolutely. We can definitely do that. Looks like we're caught up here in the Discord and the YouTube chat. So reminder, we have the build review show in 30 minutes here. If anybody else wants their builds reviewed from yesterday or recently here, let me know. Drop your DK username in the office hours channel in Discord, and I'll see you all in about 30 minutes. So looking forward to the next show. Thanks for tuning in. See ya. Bye.